Welcome to the dsmith.org podcast for February 28, 2006. This is the third interview in a series here at the ESD Association committee meetings in Tucson, Arizona. I'm Doug Smith. So I'm here with John Barth of Barth Electronics in Boulder City, Nevada, who I've known for many years. And I'd like to start off by having, John, you give us a little bit of history about how you got into ESD and how
where we're going from here.
And where we're going from here.
Okay. Well, we got started in business. My grandfather had a tool and die shop. My father ran it. And so it's something I've always wanted to do is run my own business. And I worked for a couple of companies, mostly in the RF business. And that's how I became I was a ham like you are for many years, mostly in the high frequencies, the technician band, because that was more interesting. And then we got into the design of high voltage attenuators when I started my own business, because there was a request from University of California, Livermore, for high voltage attenuators that they had never had any reliable equipment to do this. And you can't just use a microwave attenuator for high voltage because it's only designed to handle a couple hundred volts. So we did some searching, and where I had worked at Bird Electronics, and I'm sure you know about the Bird watt meter, where I had worked there, Mr. Bird had collected an awful lot of junk.
There really is a person named Mr. Bird.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Ray Bird. Oh, yeah. He was a great guy. That's why I went to work for him, because I loved that kind of equipment. Okay. But he had died. He had fallen down the steps in a basement and died. And I was working in a lab one day, and his son came out, who had taken over the company. And he started telling his workmen to haul all this stuff that Mr. Bird had collected away. I said, "What are you doing with that?" He said, "We're taking it to the dump." I said, "You can't do that. Your father spent 30 years collecting this stuff." And he said, "Okay, John, if you want it, you take it home." So I did. And one of the resistors that he had collected, we started testing for the high voltage capabilities, and it withstood this high voltage, and we found out how that resistor was made, and we started making attenuators and high voltage equipment from that resistor we didn't start with the underground nuclear testing. It was mostly for the government labs, because that's the only people that had the needs for high voltage to tore electrons off of atoms so that you could study them. But one thing led to another, and we got to work for the underground nuclear testing in Nevada. And the business was doing so well that we picked up and moved from Cleveland, Ohio to Boulder City, Nevada, where we ran the business. And one thing developed into another, and we got a security clearance. We found out what these people wanted. We started making different types of high voltage instrumentation, mostly coaxial instrumentation, and we developed over 100 different types of components, attenuators, splitters, terminators, all kinds of things, combiners. And until the underground nuclear testing disappeared about 14 years ago.
You mean it's no longer a growth industry?
No, it isn't. It kind of died very quickly, and we had to get into something else. And we looked around for a couple of years, and then I had always suspected that ESD was in the same kind of technology with high voltage, fast pulses. So we started building some equipment for the ESD testing. I started coming to these meetings while my good friend Leo G. Henry dragged me into these meetings, and I found out what was needed. We started building some of this, and then I had a fellow from Sarnoff who wanted a TLP machine, which is what we really got started in, and we built one, and that became a very excellent product, and it was far better working for private industry, the semiconductor companies, than it had ever been working for the government labs. And one thing led to another, and we finally made enough money to build our own building, and it's been very, very good.
Well, that's a great history. So, John, from your perspective, what's causing the most trouble in the ESD world these days?
Well, it's the change in devices. Semiconductor industry is growing so fast, and the size of these devices is being reduced to such miniature sizes, and the operating voltages are going down, that ESD has become a very difficult item to protect against these days. And there's a number of different threats that are now becoming recognized, and they're splitting off from just the one original threat, which was HBM and human body model, and then there's machine model and the CDM. Now we're talking about the cable discharge event, which is something that is affecting a lot of companies that have servers, because you hook up a cable that's charged and you can blow the input on a IC that's directly connected to one of those pins. So there's a lot of different, well, it's changing all the time, like the transient latch-up that we just had a meeting today. It's a moving target, and as the devices change and as they, well, now it's SOI, silicon on insulator. You don't have the substrate. Now it's a different type of latch-up problem that is very difficult to chase after. So it's the main idea here, the main problem is to develop a number of different types of tests that can be standardized so that you've got the different threats, which each of which has a different pulse width, different amplitude, different wave shape, and all these semiconductor devices respond differently to them. So that's one of the biggest problems. However, my impetus, this latest effort, has been to try and study the real events, because a lot of the tests that we're doing today were developed under measurements were made 20, 30 years ago with scopes. And you remember the film on scopes that you had to use?
The old 7104.
Oh, yes.
Took a whole roll of film to get that one trace you wanted.
It did. Well, now you've got a digital scope that not only records the waveform you're looking at, but it records the data for some nanoseconds, microseconds before that. And you can see things that was very difficult to see before. And now we can see these real events, and we're finding that they're radically different from what the testers are that are being used today to test these parts. It's still working because the testing is a much higher level than the real threat is. So it's not that devices aren't being tested and they're not protected. Actually, they're overprotected. And so it's very difficult to tell somebody that you're overprotecting and it can't test the device the way it should.
Okay. So, John, what's your website address? How can people find you?
It's barthelectronics.com, one word.
B-A-R-T-H.
B-A-R-T-H, that's right. And there's we have all of the technical papers that we've written on there, and we have the instrument, a lot of the instruments. Well, actually, all now. It's taken me a while at my age to find some young guys that can build this website for me, but we now do this, and we've got all of our attenuators and the things that are used all over the world for the high voltage pulse measurements, as well as the ESD type test equipment that we are now making. And it's all listed on the website there. And there's some application notes that I've written, a number of them. They're not quite on the website yet, but they will be shortly so that people can read those and learn something more about ESD.
Okay. Now, how far are you from Las Vegas, about Boulder City?
Boulder City is just over the hill from Las Vegas. It's about a half an hour drive from the airport. We have a lot of our customers come there and do testing on some of our machines. Some of our customers are the smaller companies that can't really afford to buy a machine, so they come to our place and do testing so that they can have that kind of data on their equipment.
Okay. So if someone were in Las Vegas to drop a few bucks, they could drop over and see your place, and believe me, his back room is like an engineer's toy store. You could play there for a long time.
Well, we do. We have a nice machine shop because we build all of our own hardware, all this coaxial instrumentation and our resistors, and we do all that assembly there, so it is a lot of fun. I go back in the shop and machine something, whether I have to once in a while, just for my own pleasure.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome.